Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We always appreciate his time. Joining us now from Pittsburgh, it is the president of baseball operations for the Cubs, Theo Epstein, back on the Score with McNeil and Parkins on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Theo, how are you doing today? Thank you for the time.
Hanging in. Thanks, guys. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, not a problem. We understand. Well, we wanted to kind of let you set the tone, I guess, for the conversation now that officially you guys have been eliminated from playoff contention. I'll just give you the first word here on what your message is to Cubs fans about the season and where you go from here.
Honestly, I'll have more on that next week. I think we're still playing. We still have some things that have yet to unfold. So I'm making this call out of obligation, not to make a statement. So I'll try to answer your questions to the extent I can. But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of dialogue and a lot of transparency forthcoming. But I'm not going to necessarily use this venue to do so.
Well, this could be a great 15-minute tease for 77 minutes coming next week then. Well, and we both heard what you said yesterday, and we'll be completely respectful of what you – we know what you don't want to talk about. You said you're uncomfortable talking about a timetable when it comes to making a decision on your manager. Can you tell me this much about the timetable, though, Theo? Based on how precipitous the team's nosedive was these last – couple weeks, do you suppose you will need a little bit more time than you would typically to have a refractory period so you don't react overly emotionally
in regards to
any decisions you make?
All off-season decisions,
all of them.
Yes and no. I think I think the severity of the fall off the last couple of weeks has been alarming and shocking in a lot of ways, but I do think that many of the issues were foreshadowed over the course of the year, and there's nothing that completely blindsided us other than the sheer sort of like mathematical impossibility of some of the things that happened. Obviously, it was just stunning, but I don't think any new issues creeped up that weren't on our radar screen or weren't things that we were trying to solve or that we were aware of. And part of our job is to take the emotion out of it and to look at things objectively and rationally. And that's not something that you just start doing at the end of the year. It's something that you do over a period of several years and over the course of a season. So, if anything, you have more time than you want in October to continue to assess and to come up with strategic plan going forward.
Joe said he expects to talk to you about his future within the next couple of days. Is that a fair timeline to expect?
Yeah, I'm just not going to get into the public discourse about it. It'll be between me and Joe, and we're here and we continue to talk about stuff.
So, the front office standpoint in this, because I did listen to everything you said to the media yesterday in Pittsburgh about, they've still got games to play. But when you self-scout the front office's role in this, and you guys have already done a little bit of reshuffling, what can you share about where you think that maybe your guys' role kind of led to the shortcomings of the season?
Yeah, more to come on that going forward as well. But look, it's our, everything is our responsibility. Like everything having to do with the baseball operation is our responsibility. So we didn't achieve our goal, so we're responsible for that. So we have to assess areas that we need to get better, and whether there are some broader themes as well. I think as I start to look at it and from 10,000 feet, to be self-critical, I think in the organization as a whole, in a way, you could say that the trend of the last several years has been pouring resources, every available dollar that we've had, every trading many prospects, in an attempt to fortify what we've had, to plug holes in what we've had with this core, and to sort of maintain something, and to it's been sort of looking backwards, just trying to assuming the development of this core and trying to turn this group into a championship club again. And I think I do think that the way this season has played out, it makes clear that, you know, not a lot's going to happen just by continuing to do the same and by looking backwards. And I think that there's a bit of a winner's trap involved where, you know, when you've had a lot of success and you've won, there can be a tendency. I think this applies to the whole organization, people in uniform, people out of uniform, myself, all of us. There's a tendency to overestimate the methods that you've been using because you've had success. You attribute the methods to the success, and it can be a subconscious thing, but it's hard to keep, if you're holding on to what's happened in the past and what you've done, it's hard to keep progressing as rapidly and as effectively as you need to continue to innovate and stay on top and dominate. And it can be subconscious, and that's what makes it, you know, a trap of winning. And you, if you're holding on to the past, you're not going forward. So I think that's, you know, the way this season ended has drawn a very clear line where, you know, in order to move forward, we have to let go of the past to an extent and get about the task of building the next championship Cubs team. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, many players and many personnel from this current team involved in the next Cubs championship team, but it'll be, you know, nonetheless, it'll be something that's starting afresh, and I think that's appropriate. And so, you know, I don't get into specifics at a later date, but broadly, I'd say, you know, I feel like, and thematically, I feel like that's an area of valid self-criticism.
Theo, I watched Moneyball for probably the 10th time over the weekend, and I bet there were a half dozen scenes that were germane to things that happened to your club this year that made me think of the issues your ball club had. And one of them is when Bean is telling one of his players, I don't pay you to get thrown out at second. I pay you to get on first. You guys made a ton of outs on the bases this year. On your list of things that were chronic ailments that disturbed you, how high was that?
The outs on the bases, yeah, that's big. Those are things that they really add up. They eliminate your margin for error. You know, when you and there are areas where I really think like focus can help. Focus and you know, being locked in. You know when you make errors. Errors, and when you make those kind of outs on the bases, I'm just speaking generally here, you know, those are things that you feel are avoidable, right? You know, certain times you're just going to get dominated by a pitcher, or, you know, someone's going to take you deep. It's unavoidable. Games played at a really high level. There are great players out there, but self-inflicted wounds like outs on the bases and making, you know, errors in the field that are more mental errors or more plays that should be made, routine plays, those are just self-defeating because they eliminate your margin for error and they really put a strain on you know, you're turning production into runs scored and runs prevented and then turning runs scored and runs prevented into wins. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely up there on the list of things that it's not the sole factor. It's just a contributing factor into why we are less this year than the sum of our parts. And we clearly are less than the sum of our parts. I mean, we might be depending on how we play the last 4 days, we might be the second team in the history of this modern wild card, two wild card format to miss the playoffs with 100+ run differential. And just like, and things like, you know, making outs on the bases and the errors, just the things in the margins really add up. And obviously the performance in one run and two run games add up and make you less than the sum of your parts, and championship clubs are greater than the sum of their parts, and that's something that we have to get back to being.
Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Theo Epstein, with us, McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Made a little news yesterday about the reports out of Boston, you know, that there was nothing to it, and that you would be back next year, and you just said again, you know, want to build the next Cubs championship team. I'm curious if you still believe in that old Bill Walsh mantra that you talked about, that leadership change about every 10 years is healthy.
Yeah, I still do believe in that. And, you know, I think those are sort of private matters and private conversations that I've had and will continue to have with Tom. I mean, look, I was 9 years in that role in Boston. There's no hard and fast rule about 10. There's nothing magic about 10 years. But I do agree essentially in term limits of sorts for leaders, where you get to a point where you reach diminishing returns. And especially if you're not willing to be self-critical and you're not willing to, you know, examine the things that you're doing well and things that you're not doing well, and continue to grow, continue that growth mindset, be curious, be willing to admit mistakes, be willing to start over in certain areas, and it's especially true. So I think everyone in a leadership position should contemplate, a term limit of sorts, and there will be a time when it's clearly appropriate for a transition in that position as well, and when that time comes, I would welcome it. But I think I'm right now really invigorated to try to lead this transition. I think we're going to be making adjustments and some changes and myriad levels of the organization and trying to improve and make sure that we get back to dominance and performing at the level we're accustomed to.
Theo, I want to circle back to what you were saying about focus and mental errors. It's not in your manager's nature to be, in baseball vernacular, a red ass, but that doesn't have to come from the guy who fills out the lineup card. Does your team lack a potent presence in that room? Somebody who's willing to be unpopular and shake things up when guys aren't focused?
I think that falls under the category of questions I feel more comfortable answering once we're done playing. And we have exit interviews coming up with players and something I want to talk to them about. So, I think everyone draws conclusions about the personality of the club or the chemistry of the club and who does and who doesn't fill leadership roles in the clubhouse, including me, including us in the front office. That's part of our job. I think it's dangerous to speculate about it a little too much publicly at times, paint players with a broad brush, especially while the season is going on. But I totally get where your question is coming from. I just think, that kind of dissection of will best be answered by what we do going forward and what we need going forward. More so than, an attempt to play amateur psychologist right now.
Theo, in terms of then a micro issue, Craig Kimbrell has given up more home runs this year than any year in his career, but only in 20-something innings, a couple of DL stints. How much of those problems do you attribute to the unusual start to his season?
Yeah, I think we had an opportunity there and to get an elite talent had been performed at a consistent dominant level his entire career on a season by season basis, and we knew that given that he wouldn't have a normal spring training, given that he was trying to do something that very few had ever done before, which was join the team midstream in the closer's role, that there would be some risk. We felt like it was certainly a risk worth taking. And I think it's impossible to pinpoint how much of his struggles have been because of that. But I mean, from my perspective, I think it's the single biggest factor. He's never struggled like this before. He's never even been close to having this type of performance before. So we'll find out next year. He's going to have a real productive offseason and have the benefit of the foundation of a spring training underneath him. But I think the best bet it would be for him to continue to perform as his previous established level. That it didn't turn out, I think, given the opportunity that was presented to us with Zobrist's absence and then being able to convert those resources into something that the team, which was playing at a really high level at the time but lacked somebody to pitch in the final inning to give the team what it needed, it's something that I would do over again, albeit I recognize that that is not a move that panned out this year, despite Craig's best efforts, and we do look for better in the future.
Let's talk about you. You're an emotional guy. You managed to keep a stiff upper lip even during crisis, but we can tell when you are dejected. You don't hide that very well, and I don't think you want to. What has this conclusive failure done to you?
It's gotten me to a place where, I'm extremely motivated to get it right. I feel like, when you're heavily invested in something and you're responsible for something, it brings you to great highs when things work out, because for me, I draw tremendous energy off of seeing other people happy and knowing I played a small role in accomplishing that. And that's what you get when you win the World Series and when you achieve sustained success year in, year out. And when you fall short and you don't accomplish your goal, and usually in baseball that happens in cruel fashion as it is this year, those same dynamics bring great pain, because you feel like you're letting a lot of people down, and I think the key as you mature is to funnel that into something productive. So instead of sitting and wallowing in the pain of what could have been, should have been, what would have been, what should have been, sitting there holding on to your run differential and your what could have been if we, done this or done that, instead you recognize what it was, which is, a dramatic failure to accomplish your goals, and you channel it into fixing it. So you wake up early, work out if you need to, you get on the phone, you get on your emails, you start having meetings, and you have already seen that in our players too. I mean, just mentioned this yesterday, but just flew in yesterday to Pittsburgh, and walking in the clubhouse, I had five players come up to me, or three players rather, come up to me in 5 minutes and ask me, what do I need to do different? What can I do different? How can I make sure this doesn't happen again? What went wrong? And, I think that's important, really important, that kind of self-examination and determination to get it right, because there are so many great things happening in this organization, which is a strange thing to say when we're in the middle of an 8-game losing streak, falling out of the pennant race, but there really are, and I'm very optimistic. We face a lot of challenges. I think next year is going to be more challenging in a lot of ways than this year was. But I'm really optimistic about our ability to create something anew that sustains a lot of success.
How so? Why will next year be more challenging than this year?
We're getting, we have less control of our best players going forward. There's, we have some players departing in free agency, and there's just the landscape of talent out there. There's going to be some unique challenges. So I think we're all possibilities are open to us too. So we look forward to it.
I suspect one of those challenges will be massaging some guys who now in their mid-20s are experiencing failure at a level higher than they have in the past. Some of these guys accomplished some pretty amazing things as pups, and this is uncharted water. I would think that the mental skills portion of the Cubs staff has some work ahead of it.
I think the failure should be the best motivator there is. And I think, I think there were a lot of issues last year that we tried to bring to the fore. But, there's this, whether including with our players and meeting with our players and talking about some things that we felt needed to change that we were getting away from that made us really good. And when you win 95 games, it's hard to buy into that. It's hard to buy into the need for change completely, and that applies for everybody. This year, the fact that when you fall as precipitously as we have, and it's so obvious, then there's no security blanket. There's no narrative you can tell yourself. So that applies to the players too. Every player is going to face this. Should face this head on. I don't think they need it. What was your word? A massage? I don't think they need a massage. I think that this is fuel to go have the best offseason they possibly can and come back and every single one of us be better next year.
Theo, another, I guess, micro question. What is David Ross's value to the franchise in his current role, and where do you see his future being in baseball?
He's been a good advisor in the current role. He's been a valuable resource for the players and for Joe and the coaching staff, us in the front office. He's spent a lot of time learning different perspectives in the game by sort of immersing himself in different departments. So he's been valued. And I don't know what his future holds. That's ultimately be up to him what he wants to do in this game. But I think he's made good use of his time learning the game from a different perspective since he's been playing.
Did you and Joe go out for those drinks that he suggested last night?
He actually had some other friends in town, so we took a rain check, but we'll be sure to do that on this road trip.
All right, you're going to get some beers and tell some stories. Because it was interesting, you know, John Lester yesterday said, no matter what happens, Joe should be revered in this town for a long, long time. And I think a lot of fans are coming to terms with just how this whole era of Cubs baseball should be remembered.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say without prejudice and without, you know, without saying anything about what does or doesn't lie ahead, you know, whether, you know, regardless of Joe's future, I couldn't agree with that more. I think he should be revered as a legend. He should be celebrated. And I think today Joe doesn't get enough credit for, you know, if you look back at 2015 and 2016, we had a bunch of 22-year-old, 23-year-old players performing in the postseason with the like calm and composure you typically see in a spring training game or an American Legion game, even to use Joe's terms. And that's remarkable. It doesn't happen without Joe creating an environment where young players can relax, be themselves, and thrive like that. It's just really unusual. If you talk to players who've played in World Series, played a lot of postseason games, there's a pressure unlike any other. And you know, in that period of time, the atmosphere here was remarkable, and Joe is the single biggest force in creating that culture that allowed our players to thrive that way. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, when they think back on the World Series are overly critical, thinking about some pitching changes here and there, but lose the big picture, which is that, you know, our players were able to go out there and perform because of the environment that had been created in the first place.
Theo, thank you very much for the time, even if it was under obligation.
Yeah, appreciate the you honoring the obligation as always, Theo. Thanks.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Take it easy.
That's Theo Epstein with us on the McNeil and Parkins Show. We obviously appreciate his time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.